Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the last Sunday before Christmas. The last Sunday in this penitential season of Advent. And we've had to practice a little bit of discipline in holding off the Christmas decorations and the Christmas celebration so that we can follow through this season of Advent with its godly purpose of preparing us not to celebrate the birth of Christ as much as to prepare us for the second coming of Christ. The one is done. It's happened, whether we were ready or not. We weren't even born. But the other is coming, and we must be ready for that. It's, as always, the Apostle John who helps us this morning on the last Sunday in Advent by pointing us back to the prophet John the Baptist as he prepared people for Christ's first coming. Who are you, John? Who are you? They asked that delegation of priests and Levites from Jerusalem who came to John where he was baptizing to ask him about himself. Now, we know John's origins, and it's possible that they knew some of his origins as well, that his father was the priest Zacharias, that his mother was Elizabeth, who gave birth to him in their old age. They may not have known of the angel Gabriel announcing the birth of John ahead of time to Zacharias, or of his inability to speak as a result of his unbelief of the angel Gabriel's message. We know that and more from Luke's gospel. But they may have known who John was, humanly speaking. What they were asking, though, wasn't who your parents are or where you were born. They knew that he was preaching, they knew what he was preaching, and they knew that he was baptizing. What they were wondering was what John was claiming about himself. If he was claiming to be someone important, someone whom the people of Israel might latch on to, someone really who might threaten their authority in Israel. They knew he had a large following of people. All of Judea, it says, went out to John, some of them regularly, many of them to be baptized by him in the Jordan. They knew that there were rumors flying among the people. Could this be the Christ, the Savior promised in the Old Testament? Well, John made the good confession when they asked. He made it firmly and openly so that no one, including his own followers, should be in any way disillusioned. I am not the Christ. So that means no one should be looking to me as the Savior. I am not the fulfillment of the Old Testament. I am not the righteous one, the promised seed of Abraham, the one who will judge the earth, the one who will rule at God's right hand over all creation. I am not the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Christ is all those things, but I am not. What then, John? They asked. You must still be claiming to be someone important. You wouldn't just take up this prophet's mantle on yourself and go out preaching to the people of Israel without a call, without divine authority, and we know we didn't give it to you. So, are you Elijah? And that seems like such a strange question, because that prophet lived hundreds of years before John the Baptist was born, spoken of in the Old Testament. But maybe not quite so strange, since that was the prophet of the Old Testament, Elijah, who never actually died, but who was taken to heaven alive in a whirlwind and a chariot of fire. And then there was Malachi's prophecy that before the Lord comes, Elijah will come to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. No, John answered, I'm not Elijah. And he wasn't. Elijah remained in heaven. But John was the Elijah that Malachi was referring to, which wasn't ever going to be the same man who went up to heaven from the Old Testament, but some man who would come, a prophet like Elijah, in the spirit and power of Elijah, as Jesus himself confirms about John and the angel Gabriel pronounced to Zacharias when he said that this would be the one sent in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. But since John denied being the Elijah who had gone up into heaven, they asked him, well, then are you the prophet? And he said, no. The Jews at that time were apparently misunderstanding a prophet of Moses from Deuteronomy, where Moses prophesied that God would one day send to the people of Israel a prophet like him, whom God would raise up from among their brethren, to whom they must listen. The Jews were expecting this prophet to come, but they apparently didn't believe or understand that the prophet Moses was referring to was the Christ himself. They were expecting this prophet to come in addition to the Christ, as we learn in the Gospels. They were expecting a prophet not like Jesus would be, not like Moses prophesied, who would be raised up from among their own brethren, who wouldn't look like anyone special, but who would be raised up from the children of Israel, just as Jesus was, to rescue Israel from slavery, as Moses had done, to lead Israel as Moses had led them. Jesus would fulfill all those things as the Christ, as the prophet. But that wasn't John. So he said, no, I'm not the prophet. Well, who are you then, John? We need an answer, the delegation said. What gives you the right to preach? What gives you the right to tell people that they're sinning against God, to call them to repent, to announce the forgiveness of sins, to speak to them in God's name? Well, they had a point. You don't just get up one morning and decide, you know, I'm going to go say stuff to people from God. You don't just get to get up and say, I'm a prophet and I have a message to God from you people. Repent. Not unless it's your God-given vocation to do so. Modern prophets or preachers think that they have such a vocation in their own hearts, but they don't. Unless you have a call from God to serve as a preacher and a prophet, you don't get up and do it, as the book of Hebrews also points out. The difference between the modern preacher who gets up and says, I have a message from God, and John, was that John actually had a message from God as one of the few men in history chosen directly by God and called directly to be his prophets. We know that because of the angel Gabriel, who announced it from God directly. We know it too from Jesus, who confirmed John as a prophet. John did have the vocation to speak in God's name. He wasn't preaching from his own desires or from his own thoughts or on his own authority. Nor was he trying to get people to focus on him and praise him and cling to him. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. Now the Jews were expecting the Christ to come, although they didn't understand at all why he was coming. They expected Elijah to come, although they misunderstood how he would come. They were expecting the prophet to come, although they misinterpreted him too. But this prophecy of Isaiah, of a voice crying in the wilderness, they didn't seem to care very much about at all, even after John reminded them of that Old Testament prophecy of this voice crying in the wilderness. Now we ask, why didn't they care about this prophecy, this voice crying in the wilderness? And it's not too hard to answer. Because the coming of the Christ, the Elijah, the prophet, would have been glorious and spectacular things in their mind. They were expecting God to come in the person of one of those three prophets to tell Israel what a good job they were doing compared to all the other nations of the earth and their idolatry and their pagan worship. They were expecting one of those great prophets to come and praise them for doing such good work, to praise them and to lead them out of Roman control, to set up Israel as the nation above all nations on the earth, to save them from their oppression in Israel under the Romans. But this voice of whom Isaiah spoke, his message is not so sweet, and certainly not glorious or spectacular. Make straight the way. But that means the way is not straight right now. And of course it wasn't straight. The hearts of the Jews were for the most part stuck on external things, earthly things. They didn't even notice how they were mistreating their neighbor, becoming more and more self-centered and selfish, more and more concerned about their government and who was ruling their government, their possessions, their food and clothing, their tithing, and their religious rituals, which had lost most of their meaning by that time. God's commandments were being reinterpreted by the Pharisees to allow them to get away with anything they wanted and to condemn anyone whom they wanted to condemn. And the people of Israel had become either haughty and merciless toward their neighbor on the one hand, or secure, open sinners on the other hand. In that condition, they would never be ready for the advent of the Christ. And their condition doesn't sound very different from the condition that we find ourselves in the world today, does it? So John preached. He preached against all of it: open sins and secret sins, arrogance and work righteousness, the idolatry of possessions, the idolatry of their own bodies and pleasure, the idolatry of government, the idolatry of man-made truth, the idolatry of self. Make straight the way of the Lord. Hear His word. Repent before it's too late. The Lord is coming. Let Him find you humbled. Let Him find you penitent. Let Him find you troubled and sorrowing over your sins. Let Him find you acknowledging your guilt and seeking mercy when He comes. But the Pharisees and priests in Israel didn't want to humble themselves, and they didn't want to be lectured by a nobody out in the desert. What they wanted was for John to admit that he was a nobody, that he had no right, no authority to preach repentance to Israel, and especially to them. Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John's answer was perfect. I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. In other words, in the grand scheme of things, I am nobody. I'm not the one you should be worried about. The Christ is coming. In fact, he's already here, standing in your midst, and you don't even know who he is. He is the one to whom you will give answer. He is the one who has come to save you sinners from your sins. But take warning, if you refuse to repent of your sins and believe in him, he will not be your Savior. He will be your judge. That's how John made straight the way for the Lord's first advent. Is the way straight for his second advent? John's preaching, which is still echoed now by Christian preachers, will see to it that it is. Because this is the Holy Spirit's ministry. The Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the Word, is making straight the way for Christ's coming every time repentance is preached. Every time forgiveness is pronounced in the name of Christ, every time a sinner is baptized into Christ, every time the Lord's body and blood are offered to penitent sinners. The world as a whole will not be straight, will not be ready, will not be right. But to all who heed God's call to repent and believe in Christ, the way is straight. And you can expect his coming with joy. As St. Paul said in the epistle, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And if in this way you are prepared for the Lord's second coming, then you're also properly prepared to celebrate his first coming at Christmas. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.